And good evening. You're live with Patricia Corey. You know me as the author channel of the Syrian Revelations. Welcome to Beyond the Matrix. This is the show for people who dare to think outside the box of convention. And I assure you, tonight is going to take you as far out of the box as you've ever been. This show is about moving past the outskirts of common belief systems and way, way out into the deep space of your mind. We want to bring forward what you already know deep down inside in the well of your subconscious mind and universal experience. We may get even further than that tonight with Russell Altman, who is going to talk to us about Morgellons, which many of you have not heard about, but you'll never forget after tonight's show. Are you there, Russell?
Yes, I am. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, Russell. Okay, well, you and I have had some long conversation about things that are near and dear to me. I have been following the Morgellons story for some time now, but most people that I talk to have no clue. So I think as we get started tonight, we need to talk about, from the basics, start with understanding that maybe no one who is listening knows about Morgellons. And please tell us, for starters, what is the Morgellons syndrome and how have you become involved in it?
Well, that's a very large question, Patricia. I got involved with this back in May of last year when I happened to be with a friend of mine named Connie. And she was presenting herself with hundreds upon hundreds of lesions all over her body. And neither one of us at the time had any idea what it was. And coincidentally, I've been helping a friend of mine do some international marketing of a product that's been sold outside the U.S., never here. And I happen to have some product samples with me. And so I asked her if I could go out to the car and get them. She said yes. And we put a few drops on her hand where she had some lesions. And within a few hours, the redness and the swelling were completely gone, which really surprised us.
And this product is?
It's called NutriSilver.
Is this a colloidal silver product?
It's a kind of colloidal silver. We like to think it's the next generation of colloidal silver in that it's been engineered by a deceased Nobel laureate. His intention was to build a product that was lethal to the HIV virus.
Okay, now you originally told me that this product is based on clustered water. I'd like to remind people what clustered water is. For those of you who have read about my work and the DNA acceleration, we've talked about how clustered water is the purest water in the intracellular and cellular network communicator. Yeah?
Yes. In fact, the clustered water that was engineered actually goes one step further in that it actually vectors the nano-sized silver particles directly to whatever pathogens happen to exist inside the human body.
Whereas clustered water is colloidal silver is simply the use of suspended nanoparticles of silver in purified water.
That's correct. Now, a lot of people have made their own colloidal silver, and I want to make a distinction here. The colloidal silver that you make at home using silver wire and electricity is ionized silver, and our product is completely different from that. We are truly a true colloidal silver in the sense that the manufacturing plant is co-located with a silver mine. We use 100% silver, and most colloidal silvers that you make or buy in a health food store are somewhere between 5 and 20 parts per million. NutriSilver is actually 3,600 parts per million. And because it has so much silver in it, as opposed to store-bought or homemade colloidal silver, it has a dark amber color. That's a refraction of the light off the silver that's in the liquid.
Now, is that... let me just give that website information so that we can not focus too much on the content of the NutriSilver. It's www.nutrisilver.com.
Yes,
now let's get
correct.
Back to Morgellons.
Sure. By the way,
let's go deeper and talk about exactly what are the symptoms of Margellan. I mean, there are so many, but what is the most significant information about this?
We've actually seen a list compiled of 93 symptoms, but the most prevalent are brain fog, where the victim literally can't remember what they said 1 minute ago, severe chronic fatigue, where people sleep between 16 and 20, 22 hours a day because they're just so fatigued. They have deep bone and muscle aches. A lot of people confuse this for fibromyalgia. And probably one of the worst symptoms is the prevalence of fibers on the skin, and these are multicolored fibers. They're often blue and red and sometimes white. But the worst one of all, in my mind, is the skin lesions. And what's interesting about these skin lesions, they appear all over the body and they never heal. They sort of look like a wound that is just weeping.
Yeah, but let's go back to the fibers that are multicolored. This is not sounding like a natural thing.
No, it's hardly a natural thing. The fibers under scientific analysis have proven to be coated in a substance called polyurethane, which is the same coating and material used to make fiber optic cables. My background is in telecommunications, not in medicine or colloidal silver. And these fibers, interestingly enough, some of the research scientists I've been dealing with all say the same thing, in that it doesn't even begin to start burning or melting until it reaches 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, so you're talking about fibrous matter, either it becoming, is it below the skin or is it showing up within these lesions but visible to the human eye?
It's very visible to the human eye. You can see it subcutaneously, that is under the skin. You can see it on the surface. Sometimes it's easily removed with a finger or a tweezer, and sometimes it's quite painful to remove.
You're talking about multicolored fibrous material extracting from the skin of a human being.
Yes, I am. And it's either from a lesion or, surprisingly, from what appears to be healthy human flesh.
Just popping out of the skin?
Yes. Now, these fibers can be any length. We've seen some as long as 6 inches long, where these fibers actually have the ability to connect to each other.
And to do what?
And to form a longer strand.
Okay, obviously this is pretty spooky stuff, so I'd like you to talk about what you mean by... Well, okay, let's jump into it. You're talking about some sort of intelligent... What? Nanoparticles, nanotechnology?
I've been dealing with quite a few scientists who have devoted their lives to coming to the understanding of what exactly this pathogen is and why it is and how to deal with it and eradicate it and relieve the symptoms and that sort of thing. And most of them agree that this is not a natural pathogen. It is neither a bacteria nor a virus. It's not a fungus, a mold, or a yeast. Scientists are telling me that it's a man-made nano device that self-replicates inside the human body.
Are you sure you're talking about man-made?
Yes, quite certain. These are devices that are in the nano range, and for those of us who are new to it, nano means that it's just slightly above the atomic range, and that is to say, if you had a human hair, the low nano range would be about 1/1,000,000,000th the diameter of a human hair. So it's incredibly tiny.
Okay. So who's making these? Who's behind this?
Well, that's an interesting question. There's tons of speculation out there.
Okay, well, let's go with it because we're beyond the matrix here, and so let's shoot out the wildest ideas and knowing that you're not necessarily adhering to any one theory.
Most of the scientists I've talked to have said to me that to manufacture this man-made pathogen would require several billions of dollars. That pretty much rules out any small company. It actually might even rule out some small countries. But obviously, if it's several billion dollars, then either a government agency or a large pharmaceutical, or, I mean, we could speculate all day long. No one knows for sure except the people who actually created it and released it into the environment.
So what is the intent of this? Okay, you said that it replicates and replicates and becomes longer fibers, but let's suggest that we go with the completely absurd, and, of course, so much truth in the absurd that I'm not suggesting that it's not feasible, that this is manufactured by some sort of dark organization.
Obviously, there's a purpose.
Pardon?
I said obviously there's a deliberate purpose here.
Right, that's what I'm getting to. What is the purpose? What is the intent of imposing this kind of pathogen into the human form?
Being certain that we understand within the realm of speculation, a lot of people have suggested to me that this is a way of controlling the human population. It's been suggested that at very, very low frequencies, these nano devices are able to communicate externally from the body and receive information and instructions externally. We know that one of the more severe symptoms is depression that often leads to suicide because the victim just doesn't know what to do. They've expanded all their financial resources. The doctors have turned them away because they don't know what to do. They just say, well, you have delusions of parasitosis. So no one really knows the intention except perhaps either surveillance or population control.
In an earlier conversation with me, you told me that scientists have actually photographed nano cameras in these fibers.
Yes, there are several websites that have a picture of a blue fiber that was removed from a woman on the East Coast. And the head of that fiber has gold on the end of this blue fiber, and at the very tip of that is a little tiny red dot. And the scientists that I'm dealing with have told me that that little red dot is a viral video camera. And why would you have a video camera if you had no way of getting the information that it was videoing?
Okay, hold on. Sorry to interrupt you. You said it's a viral video camera?
Yeah, meaning that it's in the nano size range.
All righty. Where can people see a picture of this so that they understand what you're talking about?
There's quite a few websites you can see this at. The one that comes to mind is rents.com. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hildegard Staninger is, in my mind, one of the leading scientists in this fight against Morgellons. And she's the one that took those pictures and posted them, along with another MD in Los Angeles, Dr. Rahim Karju, who I've met with both of them down in Los Angeles.
And your other site is Morgellons. Hope.com.
Yeah, Morgellonshope.com is arguably the largest website of information on Morgellons that we know of. There are literally hundreds of videos, articles, audio. There's a whole media section where you can see still and video photographs of this disease and the lesions. And even, and we haven't mentioned this yet because we didn't want to spook people out too quickly, even the creatures that flee the human body when they come in contact with Nutrisilver. We have videotaped creatures coming out of the human body.
Hold it, Russell! When you say creatures, could you be a little bit more definite, because, or let's say succinct in your description, because this is heavy stuff.
Well, it's really impossible to describe because they're like nothing else you've ever seen. They're obvious to the human eye. They're rather small. They look at various different shapes and colors and sizes.
They look like parasites.
Well, yeah, they do look a bit like parasites in many regards. And we have seen these creatures coming out of human eyes. From what appears to be normal flesh, we've seen some come out of lesions. We've seen that in people's stool and urine. Seen it come out of people's ears. People spit them out of their mouths. They're just very pervasive. They're everywhere.
All right. Now, you're saying that they release with this NutriSilver?
Well, we're not sure what exactly the mechanism is, but they certainly don't like NutriSilver. And when NutriSilver enters the Morgellons victim body, within a few short hours, these creatures are very unhappy and choose to flee. What comes to mind is a dental surgeon I met with in Los Angeles. She had lost all of her finger and toenails. She had lost all of her body hair. And when she first met NutriSilver, she was one day away from suicide, as are many of our people that use the product. And she didn't have any lesions, which was really strange. But she clearly had all the other symptoms. And when I got there, she would immerse herself in a hot tub that was set way too high, say around 114 degrees Fahrenheit. She'd sit in there for about 10 minutes, and when she got out, she'd cover her body in Vaseline, having just drank three bottles of 1 ounce NutriSilver. And we sat there and videotaped her for hours as these creatures fled from her body.
And, you've got video pictures of this?
Oh, yes.
Have you got this out in for the public?
Those pictures, no, are not released pending formalized release from the dental surgeon whose pictures we took.
This doesn't make you popular with the powers that be, does it?
Well, I don't know. My interest is more in helping the people who are suffering to get some relief. Right now, we're just unaware of any other thing that can help them. The mistake a lot of Morgellons people make is they think this is a skin disease because that's what they can see. They can't see the depression. They can't see the body ache, but they can see the lesions. And so they treat this as a skin disease. And what they try to do is they try to put ointments and creams and stuff that may or may not give some very short temporary relief from the biting and scratching feelings that the people have all the time. But they come right back. And all it does is drive the disease further and deeper into the body. Whereas it's our belief that when people take NutriSilver orally, it forces the disease out of the body from the inside out. It's a whole different
approach. Was this woman putting, I'm just curious about what you said earlier about the woman who then took these mega doses of the NutriSilver and then put Vaseline. What was the use of the Vaseline for?
Well, there's a couple of theories here. One of them is that it makes the flesh more permeable, which makes it easier for the creatures to exit. Another theory is that it literally blocks the oxygen for them to metabolize, to continue to live, and therefore they pop through the skin to start to breathe, much like a scuba diver who's out of air might want to come to the surface very quickly.
Okay, but let's try to get a handle on this. You're telling us that you're talking about creatures or some sort of, I mean, I don't even know what to call this.
Well, let's just call them parasites.
Creatures that are nonetheless developed nanotechnology, correct?
Yes.
They have consciousness.
Well, we think they may have collective consciousness, that they actually work in unison. They seem to be able to communicate with each other and work together. There seems to be some sort of an innate intelligence about this disease in each individual human body.
Are they feeding on human DNA?
Oh, yes. They're also feeding on what we think is the normal flora that you would find on a human skin, like bacteria and viruses. So, for example, if we were to biopsy normal skin, we would find bacteria and viruses, and that's normal. However, when you do a biopsy on a Morgellons victim's lesion, you find no bacteria and no viruses whatsoever. And unfortunately, medical doctors who do these biopsies then conclude that the victim is suffering from what's called delusions of parasitosis. In lay terms, that means you're nuts and you think that you have critters crawling around under your skin.
But you really do.
But you really do. And if you can't see them, doctor, then you must be delusional. The other symptom of delusions of parasitosis is victims will also invariably come in with a container, like a matchbox or a baggie or something, with the debris that's come from their bodies to show the doctors, And as soon as they walk in, the doctor automatically thinks the delusions of parasitosis because that's the way they've been trained. There's only a tiny handful of doctors that don't think that way. They think outside the matrix, if you will. And they will actually start exploring, and the more they explore, they begin to understand that this is a brand new pandemic. And what's happening here, Patricia, is if you wind the clock back 30 years to all the poor people who back then were the first victims of HIV and AIDS, they were told the same thing. They were locked up in mental institutes. They were told to go away. And then once they couldn't ignore it anymore, then they said, well, it's just a gay disease, so we don't really care about that. And then when they really found out that, no, it's a heterosexual disease that can be transmitted with body fluids and needles and all kinds of ways, they got real serious about trying to eradicate it. Well, I see a very important parallel here. We're in the early days of the pandemic. And I call it a pandemic because I know with absolute certainty we ship Nutrisilver all over the world.
Yeah, let's talk about that because, as I said, no one that I have ever spoken with, despite the fact that I've been on this Morvellans for a long time now, has heard of it, except above the people that I'm in contact with, which is many, they haven't heard about it. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit about where are these outbreaks predominantly happening, and anything else you can tell us about the spread of this phenomenon.
Sure. We're seeing clusters of Morgellons infections in the United States up and down the eastern seaboard. There's a huge population of Morgellons victims in all of Florida, southern Texas, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And I want to add the Midwest and Portland and Seattle.
You're talking about most of the liberal. I mean, I don't want to get political here.
Yes.
But you are talking about most of the liberal states.
I don't know if they're liberal states or not. All I'm telling you.
Well, they are.
These are places where this disease is most prevalent, and we're not seeing a few cases. We're seeing thousands and thousands of cases. In a discussion with Dr. Staninger, she suggested that in the U.S. alone, there's no less than 10,000 new victims every day.
What?
Every day, 10,000 in the U.S. alone. To go back and answer the rest of your question, there's two more parts to it. Outside the U.S., we're seeing just huge clusters in Europe, all over northern, central, western Europe. England is saturated. We see pockets of it in China, Japan, Taiwan, the Middle East, New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa.
England is saturated with it?
Well, when I say saturated, what I'm saying is that we keep records of the orders that come in and also the IP addresses of people that visit, and what we're seeing is just a preponderance of traffic coming from those locations, and it's growing exponentially. That suggests that there's either more interest in the disease or there's more people who are beginning to realize through self-diagnosis that this is, in fact, what they have. The truth is that when we first started with Connie, she was nearly symptom-free before either one of us had ever heard the word Morgellons. We stumbled
on
that on the internet.
And that was because she was taking Nutrisilver? I'm not suggesting that you have to take credit for that product being the solution, but what I want to ask you is, was she taking Nutrisilver just because, even though you didn't know what the problem was, you were treating her with that?
The only reason that she was taking Nutrisilver was for the Morgellons, and what we discovered when we treated her hand was it forced a very rapid healing of the lesion on her hand, but it forced new lesions on her lower arm. We treated her lower arm, and it started to heal very nicely, but then it forced new lesions on the upper arm, and we finally...
So you were doing topical treatments at that
topical
point?
Topical is the wrong protocol. We just don't... You know, anyone who gets a hold of our product with Morgellons, please don't put this on the lesions, because that's the wrong...
Okay, this is very important information here. Because when we treated the hand, it sounds like you're saying...
They need to take it
orally.
You
use a topical approach.
Yeah, don't put it on topically. You can put it in your ears and into your sinuses, because those are highly infected. You can put one drop in each eye if you choose, but do not treat the lesions. We want you to take the product orally because it pushes the disease out from the inside. The last part of your question, Patricia, is how is it spread? Well, there's a lot of consternation around that issue, but I think the prevailing thought here is that it's been spread deliberately through chemtrails.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you that question because that's something that I've also brought out quite a lot.
I live in Reno, Nevada, and I'm looking outside right now to perfectly blue skies, but 3 days ago we got hammered. I mean, it was a checkerboard up in the sky. And the reason that we think that it's chemtrails, several reasons. One of them is that some private organizations have sent up chase planes behind these high-altitude jets and have captured what it is that they're secreting from their fuselage. And comparing that to the Morgellons infection, they appear to be identical. So who's doing it? Why exactly are we doing it? Those are still a mystery. We don't
know. Wait, back up. They appear to be identical?
Yes.
That's heavy duty.
It is heavy duty.
Okay, let's give the website information again. It's Morgellons, and I better spell this for you because I keep mispronouncing it as well. It's Morgellons, hope. .com.
Yes, okay, all one word.
Morgellons. Is it Morgellons or Morgellons?
You know, I think both are correct. The history of it is a lady named Mary Leto, whose son got Morgellons. She did a lot of research, and apparently back in the mid-1600s, a doctor wrote about an ailment that was similar to this. I doubt if they were, but he lived in a town called Morgellons in France. And so
Morgellons. You wouldn't believe that they had the technology for nanotechnology in the 1600s.
Yeah, of course not. Of course
so
not.
How do you explain that?
Well, I don't explain it. I don't think they're related in any way.
Mm.
What's interesting to me is there are people that I've talked to that claim to have had this thing for 10, 15, 20 years. And I don't think 20 years ago nanotechnology was out there. What percentage of the people do we talk to that actually are delusional? That's hard to say. But I know that if I was infected with this disease and I had lost all my faculties and couldn't remember what I said a minute ago and had all these other symptoms and I was flat broke, I'd probably be close to, if not delusional and suicidal and depressed as well as most victims are. Imagine incessantly feeling like your entire skin is covered with animals and they will not stop biting and scratching you.
No, that's beyond my imagination.
Well, that's what these people are suffering.
Is that the predominant symptom? And is that an advanced stage?
Yes. The biting and scratching of feeling like there's insects all over your body, yes, that's predominant along with the lesions. And that's why people get the DOP or delusions of parasitosis diagnosis. Unfortunately,
okay, so your Morgellons victim is walking around feeling, or are they actually even seeing these parasites or whatever we want to call them moving around under the skin surface?
Well, depending on the victim, I'd say both.
Have you ever photographed or seen this movement under the skin?
Many times. As a matter of fact, earlier, and I don't know if you're able to post this on your site, but I took a great number of pictures of these critters, and they're pretty frightening. I've never seen anything like it before, but then I'm not a scientist either. But I know what I see, and you know, delusions don't show up on film.
So you talk quite a bit about the scientists. I'm quite surprised that you've got support from the scientific community. Can you speak to who you're working with, or if not necessarily the names, but what bodies are you working with that are giving you supportive information for your theory?
Well, they come from various different medical disciplines. Dr. Staninger is an industrial toxicologist and has a great deal of experience with nanotechnology and industrial pathogens and toxins. So that's something that she's quite familiar with. And you're right, I can't mention the names of most of them because they want to remain anonymous so they can continue to do the research, you know,
sure,
in private. But we have MDs, we have PhDs, we have people that head up research foundations that are quietly working on it. We have people that own laboratories, FDA.
What is the basic consensus of these people that acknowledge this syndrome? The ones that you're in touch with are telling you, agreeing that this is a nanotechnological parasite invented by man?
Well, there's two.
I'm wondering if it's man-invented or alien, but that's another question.
It appears as though there are two camps. The folks at the Morgellons Research Foundation at Oklahoma State University, particularly Randy Wymore, who is the research scientist heading up their investigation, Dr. Harvey, who's an MD, PhD, and chairman of the Morgellons Research Foundation, just a couple of days ago released an email saying that it was his belief that this is a fungal pathogen and not man-made, and that it is treatable and perhaps curable with specific kinds of antibiotics. So far, all we have on that is just his email. There's no evidence, there's no proof, there's no background supportive information. And then the other camp, of course, it says it's nano devices that have been released into the environment.
Now,
well, I have a question.
The person that told you that red dot is a video structure nano camera.
That was Dr.
What
Staninger.
Kind of scientific support for that is there?
Well, that was Dr. Staninger. She actually did some of the preliminary work in manufacturing nano-sized video cameras.
Wow.
So, I mean, this was quite familiar to her. I mean, she's probably the perfect person to do this investigation because of her background, her tenacity, and her high integrity.
What is her background exactly?
She's an industrial toxicologist. She spent many, many years working for the U.S. government and foreign governments in many different capacities, and she has a great background in telecommunications with a very large telecommunications manufacturer. So, I mean, all of that background lends perfectly to her investigation. And some might argue it's her background that determined the results, but I don't think that's true at all.
No.
So does she have a website as well?
No, she does not. She's trying to keep relatively quiet about this. She's doing her research down in Los Angeles, and she's collaborating with several other MDs and PhDs. And therein lies one of the biggest problems in my mind is you have pockets of research going on, and none of the research scientists really seem to be willing to collaborate so that they could move this process along quicker.
Well, most of them are funded by Big Pharma.
A lot of them are. Dr. Staninger is not. Dr. Wymore is not. Dr. Harvey is not. The people who are doing what I consider to be legitimate science are not subsidized in any way, and quite the contrary. I think a lot of them are using their own personal finances to
connect. Right, that's what I meant about it's hard to get people to collaborate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's really a pity because the loser here is those people who are victims without hope and that are suffering horribly.
Patricia,
just adults. I want the audience to understand.
Yeah.
This is entire families.
Can I ask a question? This is Patricia. You were right. This is an incredible program. Incredible. This is Don.
Hi, Don. Are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. This is an incredible program. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes, hear you fine.
Is a question for Russell?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
you remember when all those microbiologists were found dead? I mean, it ended up being in the several hundreds, and they killed them all off, and then the chemtrails started to come out full bore?
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Now, is that interlinked, and do you truly believe, because what you're saying is it probably isn't off-world, because if it's coming out of the plains, we already know it's mundane. And many people, even in various countries, including that farmer in Italy that had his whole crop sprayed and then picked it up and found the same things, I guess there's quite a bit of evidence that links it to the chemtrails now. And if that's the case, then it's deliberate. My question would be, would the scientists and this sort of thing be interlinked, and is that why they could have been killed off, and is there a lot of fear in the industry about being murdered over this kind of evidence?
Well, you know, you ask a terrific question, and I think it really demands a very straightforward answer. The answer is yes. I heard about the 242 global microbiological leaders in research in the world being murdered. And I say murdered because the article that I read talked about brutal beatings and gunshots and really some horrible deaths. And I received that article from one of the scientists that I'm dealing with, who in fact has depending on the time and day and where she is, she has between one and two bodyguards with her all the time. This particular scientist has had three attempts on her life that she knows of this year. We had another MD, I'll leave his name out of this, who has Morgellons and took Nutrisilver and just got an incredible heal, and he's got most of his Morgellons patients on the Nutrisilver now. The day that we posted his endorsement on our website, he reported back to us that an unmarked black helicopter hovered over his house for 10 minutes and then left. And that happened twice. He immediately withdrew.
That's exactly what happened to our place. Two of them, twice, the same day, coming right over near the house and then leaving.
Yeah, this doctor told me it sat there 20 feet right off his roof and just hovered.
It's an interesting world we live in. I thank you for answering my question. I just had this feeling, folks, this is a real situation. I know, and I, too, have known sufferers of this. And to me, in my opinion, from all the information I get, being at the hub of a lot of information, it's a deliberate control mechanism, population control, and it just suits all the big pharma all that much better, because the money that's going to be raked in from things like this, and this is just one of their little dreams.
Yes,
you got to remember,
money and power control, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so much out there that it almost is confusing, and people think it's just disinfo. But the real funny part is, all of the disinfo does have a little bit of truth in it. And if you start hunting down just how much that truth is, it is. You realize that is deliberate, and we need to keep spreading the word. I love you. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you, Don.
Early on, when the
AIDS phenomenon exploded, I was very verbal about the fact that clearly this was not a natural development. And I saw a program in the States back then, back when it appeared. I was living in San Francisco. I had many gay friends, and the first thing I found it remarkable that a virus would choose a certain ethnic or social group to attack. So I was suspicious from the beginning.
We've had the same thing here, Patricia. We've had many scientists suggest that this is Morgellons is the disease of pigmentation, that the vast majority, well over 90% of the people infected, are Caucasian.
Mm.
I do have customers that are Latino, I have customers that are Asian, I have customers that are Native American.
To eliminate certain undesirable factions, and by saying undesirable, I'm not referring to my opinion, I'm referring to those who would have created it.
Back in
those days, and now we're looking at a global situation that is obviously extremely frightening, and
if you release this into the upper atmosphere, there's the jet stream that circles the planet. And so when it's deliberately released in the atmosphere, it floats down to Earth by gravity. That means that it's in our water supply and our food supply as well.
Okay, now let's talk about positive response to this situation. Obviously you can't recommend you're not a doctor and you have no... Well, do you have any FDA response, by the way, to Nutrisilver?
No. Nutrisilver is classified as a nutritional supplement, and it's advertised as a product that purifies water.
Okay, but we know that Big Pharma is going after nutritional supplements. Do you anticipate being shut down?
Well, sooner or later, I'm sure there's going to be something here. It just depends on how careful we are and how we market the product. The real problem is with the FTC, because we just simply do not and will not make any medical claims whatsoever.
So you are saying now that you cannot make any medical claim about Nutrisilver. However, you are sharing with us.
I'm sharing with you as a private citizen my experience and what other people have shared with me, and the testimonials, the journals I have from victims, the videotapes we have. Those are all evidence.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that NutriSilver does anything other than purify water.
Okay.
But we do know.
Okay, the
that
site, just once again, NutriSilver.com, and the other site for Russell is MorgellansHope.com. And if you have questions for him, you can reach him through those sites.
Actually,
so
not
I think
not
you're going to
through,
have questions, because if it's as pandemic as Russell's telling us, you could know someone or you yourself could be experiencing these symptoms.
Sure. Just
let me ask you another question.
Well, before you do, just a point of clarification. I'm a contributing.
Sorry, Russell. We seem to have a delay. It seems like you're talking over.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to add by saying that I'm a contributing author on Morgellons Hope, but that's not my website. There are a website that has probably the most information that I'm aware of, but it's not my site. If they want to communicate with me,
NutriSilver.com.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you, Patricia.
Oh, we're not done yet. Don't go.
Okay. Ahead. I'm not going.
What about the Center for Disease Control? How do they fit in here?
Well, that's a great question. Let me answer it by saying that in the history of the CDC, they have never received more complaints about any disease than they have from Morgellons.
Really?
There have been 40 United States senators that have sent letters to the CDC insisting that they begin their investigation. That's been going on for 6 years. Now, the CDC, in my opinion, has abrogated its responsibility by farming this out in a no-bid situation to the Northern California Kaiser Permanente Hospital System.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
No. And they've been tasked with doing the investigation into Morgellons, since there's a lot of Morgellons cases in San Francisco. The problem with that is that their responsibility as a profit-seeking organization is to their shareholders. And the hospital has a history of being very anti-Lyme. Now, there's a severe connection between Morgellons and Lyme. The numbers I've heard is as many as 96% of Morgellons victims that test for Lyme.
You talk about Lyme disease?
Lyme disease. They test
positive.
Okay,
because it's not coming through clearly on the phone.
They test positive for Lyme disease, and they don't have Lyme disease. They have Morgellons. They're distinctly different. We know Lyme disease is caused by a bacteria called Borrelis and some hitchhiking parasites that come in along with it. But here's Kaiser Permanente, who is very clearly been anti-Lyme, going to conduct a global investigation on Morgellons when they already have a vested interest in proving that it doesn't exist.
Right. I'd like to insert here that it would be a very good idea for those of you who are listening to write to your senators and demand answers to this question, backing it up with any experience or images or whatever you feel will get the message across, because let us never forget that government is supposed to represent the people.
Yes, indeed.
Now, what is the government doing for victims now? Let's suppose that, okay, aside from the 99% who are considered delusional of parasitosis, is the government doing anything besides the Kaiser feudal investigation?
Not that I'm aware of. On the CDC site, it says if you suspect that you have Morgellons, contact your local physician. We don't offer any services. So, no, you're not going to get any help from the government unless it comes through the CDC. The National Institutes of Health needs to be prodded into beginning their own investigation here. But let's step back from this for a second and take a look at the big picture. If I was the CDC, would I want to conduct an investigation that would probably lead to the exposure of a U.S. government agency as the cause of the infection?
Yeah, well, I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying hypothetically.
I know. We're always speaking about hypothetically.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so if we are, in fact, talking about this being sprayed, which makes sense to me, and I've always been trying to enlighten people about the trails, do you feel that this is also going to be discussion of contagion person to person, animal to person, et cetera?
We know with absolute certainty that this is incredibly contagious.
So that while you're working on these people, I hope you're wearing seriously thick gloves.
Right. We've seen Morgellons infect an entire family, including all the pets. We have other cases where only one person in the family is affected, and no one else is symptomatic. It's my viewpoint that they are infected. They just don't have symptoms yet.
Where does this fit in with a very healthy immune system? Do you feel that, of course, this is a speculation. I'm not asking you for a medical opinion, but in your experience, do you feel that it's possible that people with really strong immune systems for some reason would be protected against this invasion?
You know, there's evidence pro and con as the answer. I'm not trying to be evasive, but the truth is that these nano devices are so tiny that they are completely ignored by the immune system. So the immune system pays no attention to them. It just doesn't even know that it's there. If it did, then everyone with Morgellons would be running a fever trying to fight it off. But they're not. People with Morgellons don't get fevers, and their white blood cells don't raise when blood tests are done.
But let's get back to the purpose of this phenomenon. Do you feel that the purpose of this pathogen, I don't know what to call it, and I hate to say creatures because it just bums me out, but do you feel that the purpose of this is to kill off the population, drive the population insane, and then give them pharmaceuticals for that? Or, I don't know, like the video aspect of it, what do you suppose these nanoparticles are videoing? My first thing that comes to my mind is the DNA.
Well, we have lots of Morgellons victims that speak about what they call floaters, and these are little dark shadows that move around inside their eyeballs. And many of them have come to me and said that we think that that's where these video cameras are working, is through the human's own optical nervous system. But, you know, there's just so little known about this disease. I mean, we just don't know. The only
but you really can't call it a disease if it's a manufactured fiber optic nano whatever.
Well, Dr. Staniger calls it an invasion.
Yeah, I think that that's more appropriate.
It invades the body. It's not a bacteria, and it's not a virus.
And
Patricia, we're still trying to understand the mechanism by which Nutrisilver works. If Morgellons is not a bacteria or virus, why does Nutrisilver work? And what some of the doctors have told me is that the Nutrisilver in the manufacturing process has a positive valence charge on the particles, and that disrupts the communication and function.
Okay, hold on. You're getting too scientific for the average person. Well, what do you mean by positive valence function?
Well, no, a positive valence charge, just like a charge from a battery. It holds a charge like a battery does. And discharges itself when it comes in contact with the Morgellons invader. And that disrupts its communications and disrupts its function. And so it disentangles and it flees. It doesn't like it.
And you've seen these beings, these creatures, flee out of the body?
Absolutely. Many times.
Where do they go? This is kind of what one of my first question is, are they contained?
They're not contained when they leave
the
body.
Where do they go? Because in my work with astral entities, when I clear people of astral, which is maybe another conversation, I get very concerned with encapsulating them in, I don't know if you're into this conversation, but from encapsulating them in some sort of a bubble of light, so to protect them from just seeping out into the astral.
Well,
but my question is, if you're seeing these creatures fleeing, where are they going?
Well, let me answer your question this way. When we first started treating, or not treating, but giving Nutrisilver to Connie, we found on her arm a white fiber that was about 6 inches long. It was pretty pronounced.
And coming out of the skin.
Coming out of her arm, yeah. And with great pain, we succeeded in removing it from her arm, and then we placed it on a dark black surface so that we could begin to videotape it. And it sat there for a few minutes, and it moved around, and it flinched, and it winched, and then poof, it disappeared. And we both sat there and watched it, and the video camera saw it too. It just disappeared. So I called Dr. Staninger, and I said, my God, the 6-inch fiber just disappeared. She said, no, Russell, it did not disappear. It disassembled.
Whoa! Hey, I am not a person who gets her mind blown easily, but this is really heavy stuff.
Yes, it's frightening.
All right, I want to leave. Would you believe we're almost done with our time, which is just even too hard to believe at all that we've already been together almost an hour. It won't be the last conversation we're going to have together on the air, that's for sure.
All
you said we might be able to get Connie to come in and talk to us on the air.
I'm sure that we could, yes.
Okay, we'll have to do maybe a 3-way conversation when that happens. I'm sure that Donald can set it up for us.
For the benefit of your listeners, if they go to Morgellons Hope, the very first thing they'll see is a picture of Connie. Click on that picture and listen to her video. She talks about her experience for about 15 minutes.
Don't miss that. This is something that you're going to want to. If you be prepared, this is not easy stuff to see. But if you're listening to this show, it's because you're willing to think outside the matrix. All right, I have to start to wrap it up. Russell Altman, our incredible guest tonight. The website is www.nutrasilver.com. I'm going to be trying this stuff immediately, and I'm going to get back to you about it. Russell, we didn't get to talk about how Nutrasilver works with other pathogens. But needless to say, I would assume that if it can work on this, it can clear up a bunch of other stuff.
Well, we've done FDA-certified lab tests that show that, for example, we had 8.8 billion cells of E. coli, and in 30 minutes, we killed 99.99% of them. And that applies to Candida, Legionella, cholera, Pseudomonas, all the nasty bad things, including staph infection. And we're hoping to start some FDA lab reports on MRSA, which is the flesh-eating bacteria. We believe that we'll be able to kill that just as we've killed every other pathogen.
And are these reports on your site, Nutrasilver.com?
Yes. On the left-hand side, on the front page under Research, you can see the lab reports there on the left. We also have a lab report from the Institute of Pasteur in France where the same tests were done with the same results 10 years ago.
Fantastic. Okay, now remember, people, this is not to alarm you. This is to inform you. The purpose of this show is to bring information, to bring into your consciousness so that you can be in power. So find out about this. It's important, and it may be more important than you think. Russell, I have to say goodnight, but before I do, I want to tell everyone, don't forget, my website is www.syrianrevelations.net. Please send me your comments and your feedback about this interview with one very informed light worker, Russell Altman. Thank you, Russell.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's been bone-chilling, but absolutely incredible evening.
Yeah, thanks for the chance to get the word out to your listeners.
Oh, you'll be back, right?
Yes, I will.
Keep me posted of all your developments as we try to get this problem under control.
Be happy to
control.
Do that.
Okay, good night, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday, and have a good one, and get the word out. Good night.